You're listening to the sermon audio podcast of Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church in Lexington, Kentucky. TCPC exists for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the good of the bluegrass. I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 147. As you're turning there, a couple things. Will and Stephen and I got here this morning, and we made the decision not to continue our study this morning of Revelation 11. We will pick that up again next week. That Revelation 11 is very much about the proclamation of God's word, his sweet and bitter word to the nations and the response of the people. So the comfort and safety of which we confessed our sin of is related to speaking God's truth into an unbelieving world. You do need to know this morning that Will walked here. He made it just about 2 miles. He did fine in the snow and rain. Stephen and I were able to drive. Will and Danielle, if you don't know, live at the very bottom of a steep hill, so there was no way he was getting out. And shockingly, not shockingly really, he beat us here even though he was walking. All right, Psalm 147, and again this morning, a bit devotional as we are a word and sacrament church. Hear God's word. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthened the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord. Let me pray and ask the Lord to give us some insight into his love for us in Christ this morning. Oh, Father, as we turn to your word for these next few moments, we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would show us more of the gospel, more of the reality that Jesus Christ took on flesh, became a man, came into this earth, invaded this earth, died for us. After living a perfect life for us, he rose again after being crucified. And Jesus, you are at your Father's right hand now, and you are the ruler of the universe. So, Father, we as your people, as we gather either in this sanctuary or as we watch online, Father, would you give us nourishment that can only come from your word? Thank you for the truth of your word, the clarity of your word, the goodness of your word that point us all to you. Lord, we do give you praise this morning for the Mexico team as they arrived back. Even in the midst of the storm yesterday, you got them home safely as well as you used them down in the Yucatan. We are grateful for your provision there. We do pray for Pastor Philo and Pastor Rigo and all of those down there this morning as they continue the work of your gospel work there. Would you bless them? Oh, Father, we pray you would show us truth from your word now. In Christ's name, amen. All right, Psalm 147. I preached this passage last year. I will not preach it exactly the same now, but I do just want to look at these words and lift our hearts and voices to the Lord that he may give nourishment to us. In the spirit of this morning, church, what is good for us? For the people of God in Christ, what is good for our souls? What is good for our life? Let's allow that question to go before the Lord as we see his word. Keep your Bibles open to Psalm 147. Again, this will not be long, but just continue to look there to see for our very existence, for our entire lives, that which is good for us. We see here that we begin this passage. Each of the Psalms, of Psalm 146 through Psalm 150, they begin and end with the same phrase, and that is praise the Lord. It is hallelujah. It means from the beginning of our life to the end of our life, this is how we live. Praise the Lord. He is the one who is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah at the beginning and the end is the way that we understand that we are rooted in Christ for all of our life. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, from life's first cry to final breath, hallelujah, give praise to the Lord. Not only are we told to do that here in the psalm, but we're given a few reasons why. Isn't it kind of the Lord not to just tell us to obey, but in his grace, he gives us reasons why we can trust him and to obey him. So in that spirit this morning, is it not good for us to do so? Let's consider a few different things. First, consider in God's kindness to us that we have power to know him and he has power to know us. If you look back in the psalm, perhaps this was written after God's people had returned from captivity in Egypt, a time of redemption. But notice the extreme descriptions given to these people as the Lord redeemed them. Verses 2 and 3 says that he built them, that he gathered them, that he healed them. All of these are synonyms of people who are in need. And would I not say, is that not true of us this morning? That we are people who need to be redeemed, who have broken hearts, who long for his mercy, who long for his peace. Of course, this is true of us. What Jesus has done for us, he has redeemed us, taken us out of our sinful bondage, and he has given us himself. But notice, and I commented on this a lot when I preached the sermon last year, in order to stretch our minds, the psalmist gives us this great illustration. If you see it, it's there in verse 4. It is, look around at the stars. This God who heals us, this God who mends us, this God who will ultimately adopt us into his family by making us his children in Christ. In verse 4, we are singing about our salvation, and he mentions the stars. Now, we don't see the stars this particular weekend with the clouds and the cover and all of that, but you know what I mean when you look at the stars. There is something there that is so beyond us. I remember years ago when I was on a mission trip to Belarus, and it was one of the first times, maybe the very first time I'd been out of the country. I was with Nate. We were flying over there. I looked out. We were in the jet, and I could see the stars as we're ever how many miles up in the air, and I realized I'm no closer to the stars right this second than I was when I was on the ground, meaning I'm not going to get closer to the stars. They look the exact same from an airplane as they do from Earth, meaning their power is way beyond us. They reveal a power of the Lord that we can barely comprehend. But what's unique about these stars is that the Lord has named them. That alone is mind-blowing. The reality that God, in his infinite grace and wisdom, is so knowledgeable that he can name the stars. Friends, if he can name the stars, he does, in fact, know our name. He knows every intimate detail of our lives, and he has chosen to pour his love upon us in Christ. What is good for us this morning as we gather on this unique day is to know that for all of us who have broken hearts, all of us who are ill, all of us who have had struggles throughout this week, we gather this morning in the name of Jesus, who knows every intimate detail of our life, and that gives comfort to us. In John chapter 10, you could go back and read it today and meditate upon God's promises as Jesus revealed himself as the good shepherd. He said that the sheep hear his voice and he calls them his own. Friends, that is a promise for you and me this morning. If you know Christ, then yes, you are part of his sheepfold, but he knows you. He did not call you angrily to take you out of your sin. He came, Jesus, our Savior, came because he honored his Father by dying for those with whom he would spend eternity in love. You see, this morning, he knows you. He knows you infinitely. He knows you desperately. His desire is to be with you. In his power, this is true. So as you consider your life this morning, whatever it is in which you need to be healed, whatever it is in which you need to be redeemed, of course our sin, but that sin is done against us, the injustice in which you have suffered, which is real, the pain not just which you have caused, but the pain in which you have withstood, you're not alone. Nor are you tolerated. No, Jesus wants you in his family so much so he came for you. Your heavenly Father has all the power, and in Christ, he chooses to use his power to know us, to care for us. How do we respond to this God? We sing with great praise to him. Isn't it great this morning to know that you are known? Well, if God knows us, it also means he has power to guide us, to lead us. Look back at verses 10 and 11. In many ways, it's really why I chose this passage. If our lives exist to give praise to our Lord because of this enormous power, I think it is helpful if we can all admit, what is our opposition in doing this? Or why is it so hard for us truly to allow the Lord to lead us, even though that we would all agree he is worthy of our praise? Why is it so hard? Before verses 10 and 11, the psalmist paints this great picture of the majestic ability of the Creator God to sustain the universe and all of creation without need of any man at all. Thanksgiving to him is our greatest aim. But then, seemingly out of nowhere, the psalmist records a couple of things which the Lord is not impressed with at all. And it is, of course, the strength of mankind. Don't we want to be known for all that we can do? I spoke to the campus outreach staff last Friday morning. It was really just a message of grace. And as we were doing a little bit of Q&A, it just struck me. You know, deep in our heart, we really don't like grace. Deep in our heart, I think there's an element of which we almost despise it. In order to love grace, we first have to admit all that we can't do, all that we are not, all of our inability. We are overwhelmed with grace, but it is God's grace to convince us that he's not impressed with ourselves, not the strength of the horse, not the strength of the man. Rather, it's the strength of the Lord. Look back to ensure that you don't miss the context here. The Lord is neither impressed by the strength of the horse or the speed of a runner. Horses and runners, they're known for their strength, aren't they? Their beauty. If you're a track star, it's incredible. In Lexington, we love our horses. I've mentioned this before, but the reality is the Lord is impressed by those who have a heart who seek him. He is the one with complete authority over the speed and the power. I love Proverbs 21:31. When I preached this passage last time, I had the church turn there, but just listen to these words. The horse is made ready for battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. We make ourselves ready. We try, we strive, we aim, we work hard. Of course we do. But victory comes because of the Lord's graciousness. This is how we live inside of his kingdom. The horse is made ready, but the Lord gives the victory. God's delight is found when we delight in him. Truly, who gets credit for all things in your life? If things have gone well for you this year, it's because of the Lord. If things are difficult for you this year, you can trust the Lord. All things come from him Do you recognize this morning that God is the one who has given you your intelligence? He's the one who has given us whatever money we have, whatever patience we have, whatever kindness we have. He is the one who gave it to us. If your career has advanced, if your family has enjoyed seasons this year over the holidays of laughter, if your ministry has flourished, it's all the Lord's grace. How does a Christian respond? If we say in our hearts, we're responsible for it, then understand this morning, you're in danger of idolatry all over again. But if we say in our hearts, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gate. He blesses your children within you. So TCPC, my prayer for us this morning, as we are snowed in, as the weather is going to be difficult these next few days, may we live in such a way that all that we have comes from him. He is sovereign over the weather. He is sovereign over our lives, our future, our suffering, our failures, our successes. They all come from him. So do you worry about your life? Are you anxious about your future? I certainly am at times, I confess. Jesus knows who we are, and Jesus will lead us. Our happiness, our joy is found in those who trust the Lord's leading. He beckons us to come to him and trust him. Let's close with this morning. At the end of the psalm, verses 19 and 20, let me read it again. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. Church, Church of Jesus Christ, church here in Lexington, a church all over the world, he treats us uniquely. The Lord, the sovereign one who created the heavens and the earth, has given us his word. It is his gift. And in his word, we know his love for us because he has given us this table. And this table declares to us that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again. As we're studying in Revelation, Jesus will return for us. This is his promise. The secret things of this world are known to us because of the mystery of the Lord and in his kindness. Is this not our hope? So yes, you chosen ones of God, Jesus' power is to know and to lead us today. And with one voice, we all say this morning, amen. Let me pray. We'll go to the Lord's Prayer, and then Will will guide us around the table this morning. Oh, Father, as we consider your promises yet again today, you are our God. We gather in your name this morning. As we gather in our homes, as we gather here at TCPC, we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your power to know us, your power to lead us. Lord, it is true. We pray this week as we make decisions about ministries and all aspects of our life, would you lead us as you have promised? And now we pray, oh God, as you taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for listening, and for more information, please visit us at tcpca.org. Thank you.